God, our Father, we invite your presence. Thank you for how you are speaking to us. You used Valerie to not only share about what you're doing overseas, but how you are taking this church and sending us out from these four walls to be your agents of grace and Christ's love around the world and in our local area. Thank you, God, for that great encouragement, and we ask that you would continue moving us as a people to see beyond our own needs, see beyond ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was a student in seminary, I had to take a preaching class with our speaker, guest from the Davis Retreat, Steve Korch. He was the professor of homiletics, which is preaching. And there was a game that some of my cohorts and peers in my class developed, a pastor game that we all kind of developed when we first started off preaching. And don't worry, I don't do this anymore. But we play a game where, as we preach, we're looking around and counting. Well, let's see how many people are completely asleep. And, you know, or somebody, and then, of course, you watch the people who are kind of, you know, very agreeable with what you're saying. You know, as you're preaching, and man, praise God for that. And then sometimes you're watching to see, well, we would give ourselves 1 point for every person that is starting to fall asleep, 2 points for every person that falls dead asleep. That means you're not doing, the points is negative, just to let you know. And so we would also give, you know, negative 5 points, so it's positive, if people were scribbling notes. Like, that means that your message must be pretty good because they're actually taking notes about what you're saying. Now, here's the thing. You get minus 1 point if, while they're taking notes, they're tilting their head, because that means that they're not really writing notes. They're thinking about, they're kind of drawing and doodling and something like that. And if you see them kind of, then you know that they're not really taking notes. They're coloring, they're drawing. And so that's negative 2 points. And so, don't worry, I'm not looking at some of you like, oh, that's me. What I'm trying to share with you, though, is, you know, now you have the fear of God put into you, because now you're thinking like, oh man, every time that Josh gets up to preach, he's watching us to see what we're doing. And a lot of times, that is how we see God, isn't it? As if God was like a pastor who's watching you silently, waiting for you to make a misstep, writing down notes, negative 5 points for you, and waiting for him to bring down the hammer. And as we've been going through the book of Amos together, we've been looking at especially how God is calling this fire of judgment into people's lives, his people, as they seek to move away from him and wander away from the good ways of his life. And especially in the Old Testament, we see that there's oftentimes these messages of judgment and doom and gloom. And so the question I ask myself is, well, you know, like a lot of times, before I became a Christian, is this two different gods? A God of the Old Testament who's so angry and wrathful, and a God of the New Testament who's all love and flowers and grace and things like that. And it sounds harsh, but may I suggest to you, as we wrap up the book of Amos, that God's judgment, especially in the Old Testament, is actually an act of mercy. And so let's explore how. See, think of it this way. I want to reframe for you what sin looks like. For those of you who live in Oakland, you may remember in 1991 we had a huge firestorm in the Oakland Hills from suspicious little embers that were carried by high winds and dry conditions. We had been in a 5-year drought at that point. Within the first hour of that fire, 790 homes were destroyed. Within 6 hours, 25 people were dead, 2,000 homes were either damaged or destroyed, and 437 apartments were destroyed. And what we were looking at is about $1.5 billion worth of damage. It was the worst in California history, even to this day. And now what I think the city of Oakland's policy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that they constantly give people reminders and have policies in place where you need to clear the dangerous brush that's around your house. You need to trim all that dry brush that's around your house and keep it clear, especially during the hot fire season. And the reason I'm sharing that story with you is because God hates sin. And what we mean by that is that it's always destructive to us. It's always destructive to ourselves and to the people around us. And so a lot of times we think that judgment is the fire that burns our lives. But the truth is, it's not the judgment itself. It's really sin that's the dangerous brush that ignites a destructive firestorm of natural consequences that destroys everything that's good in our lives. And so God cares so much about protecting us from our own firestorms that he issues these kind of warnings. And so let's break it down. This is how it works. See, what happens is when God says these judgments that you hear in all the Old Testament, God is speaking through these prophecies. But you notice, it always comes before the judgment. In other words, it serves as a warning. When God says, like, I'm going to bring down, you know, your house around your ears and all the people are going to be slain and this and that, he doesn't just do it right away. He doesn't just say it and boom, everybody's dead. But it serves as a warning for people. And so as God speaks through Amos to warn Israel that they need to change from their self-destructive and other destructive ways that go against God, he's using this as a warning in advance to give people a chance to move towards repentance and change when they're headed in the wrong direction. And so when God gives a prophecy of judgment, it's a warning. You need to clear the brush in your life because this is going to result in a fire. Not a fire of my own doing, but a fire of the natural consequences of sin in your life and in other people's lives. You see, the real fire is that sin ignites the forest fire. But these prophetic judgments serve as preventative measures of clearing the brush. And so what this tells us that is that when God is speaking to us through a prophetic judgment, it's an advance warning that there's danger. There's a fire season ahead of us, but you still have time to clear the brush. And it's actually God's mercy. He wants to protect you from the dangerous fires that we create. And when we respond to God's mercy, or when we respond to God's warning, he pours out his mercy and his grace. And that's his actual desire and intent. In Jonah chapter 3, verses 10 through chapter 4, let me just share with you very quickly. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says, when God, this is Jonah, God sends this prophet Jonah to tell the Ninevites, this is the gospel that he sends them. You guys are dead. God is going to wipe out everything and everyone because of your wickedness. And so when God saw, when the Ninevites, the people of Assyria, hear this prophecy, who are not Jews, they're not Israelites, they're not God's people, they hear God's warning and they actually repent. They turn from their wickedness, they start praying, they have a day of fasting and wearing sackcloth and all this stuff. And when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. And listen to this. Here's Jonah's response to that. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee from preaching your message. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from seeding calamity." And so what we see happening here is basically Jonah is saying, you know what? I knew this would happen. When you told me to preach this message of judgment, I knew that you would show grace and mercy when these people repent, because that is God's actual desire when he issues a prophecy of judgment. For you and I, there are times that God is going to be speaking to you. Maybe through the Word of God, maybe through a sermon, maybe through as you're reading the Bible. And God is warning you about a sin area of your life, something that is harmful to yourself. You don't think it is, but it is. There's spiritual, emotional, sometimes even physical consequences to yourself. Because going God's way, it isn't just a set of rules and regulations, but it's really about something to protect you, to bring so that you can experience God's very best in life. And it's not only destructive to you, it's like a stick of dynamite that you're holding. When it blows up, it won't just harm you, it harms everyone in the radius around you. That's the way that sin works. And so God may be giving you an advance warning through his word, through a sermon, through maybe people. We talked about last week how God uses other godly people in your life to speak to you. When your actions or when the direction you're not going in is not good for you or for other people around you. And so I want you to consider this morning, is there an area of your own life where God is giving you multiple warnings to change, to clear the brush out of your life, yet you're continuing to ignore it? God wants to have mercy in your life. He loves you. We see it even with people who are very far away from God, like the Ninevites, these Assyrian people. And you know, sometimes we don't always know, is there stuff going on? And I want to encourage you, would you pray? Pray through Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, where the psalmist writes, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me," in other words, sin, "and lead me instead in this way everlasting of following you." When God issues a judgment, it's to prepare you, to warn you, to pour out his mercy on you. And for some of us, maybe we're facing the consequences of things that we've already done, mistakes that we've already made. And may I suggest to you that God still loves you, that he loves you deeply, and maybe you're facing the natural consequences of bad choices that you've made. But in Amos chapter 9, verse 11, after all this doom and gloom and God warning his people and warning his people, stop turning away from me, stop harming yourself, stop harming the people around you. In verse 11, he wraps up this whole book of Amos and says, "In this day, I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be. You see, maybe you are facing the consequences of poor choices you've made. And you wonder if that's it. Game over. I kind of made some mistakes and now I've kind of taken myself out of the picture and now, you know, parts of my life are ruined. But what God promises here is when his people turn to him, turn back to him, he will restore. He will show mercy. And this was important for the people of Israel to hear at that time because, you know what? They didn't listen to Amos's warnings. And in 722 BC, what happened was that God used this once tiny land of Assyria to swell into this huge empire that blotted out the northern kingdom of Israel as we knew it back in biblical times. Israel was no more within a generation. And as they were going through this firestorm, they were able to look back on God's word and be reminded, remembering Amos' words of hope, that, you know what, God's judgment is hard sometimes because he's clearing the brush when we're unwilling to clear it ourselves. But it always leads to mercy afterwards. It always leads to hope. And so that's a reminder to us that after God's judgment in your life, when there are areas that you've refused to clear out the brush, that he actually wants to pour out mercy on you. He always restores his people who turn back towards him. And in fact, the cool thing about this passage in chapter 9, verse 11, is that the apostles, the followers of Jesus, later on, as they're reading through this in Acts chapter 15, they realize this thing about restoring David's tent and repairing the broken places, it's a prophecy about the coming of, it's basically two things, two promises of God, the return of the king and that God will heal the material world. Bless you. And this promise, as the apostles read through this, they realize this is about the Davidic king, the Messiah named Jesus. And so how does this apply to you and I today as we read through Amos? Is that as you face firestorms, as you go through difficult times and trials and suffering, sometimes by your own choices that you've made, that God promises a king, his name is Jesus, who loves you, who wants to restore all the brokenness. If you've ignored the warning signs, if you've been suffering the consequences of bad choices that you've made against God, if you will turn back to him, he promises to restore you because Jesus hates suffering. He hates injustice. He hates evil. He hates death so much that he came to experience it for himself and defeat it and wipe the world clean of it. And so if you're done trying to run from the consequences of bad choices you made in your life, through Jesus Christ, God is a restorer of broken cisterns, of broken hearts, and broken lives. We find that before judgment, God pours out his mercy by warning us and trying to save us. And then after judgment, sometimes maybe we've already made the bad choices and we refuse to clear it out ourselves. Even after God judges us, God still pours out mercy. He loves you. He loves people. And so this morning I want to encourage you. I don't know where you are on that continuum of maybe before or after judgment, but God wants us to clear the brush in our own lives. And none of us sitting here, not a single one, is exempt, is so holy and so close to Christ that we don't have issues in our lives that need to be rooted out. Isn't that true? Amen? That all of us have sin that needs to be rooted out, that needs to be cleared out. And so will you listen to how God is speaking to you? Would you respond to him today? Because he cares for you. As God removes the toxins and the hazardous things out of your life, remember the promise of his word that he wants to restore you. And if you're coming out of the other side of these consequences, that ultimately his restoration is expressed through his son, Jesus Christ, and his love for you and his promise to heal this broken world. Let's pray. God, our Father, I want to thank you.